The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Hi, honey.
How are you?
Oh, you know, it's been one of those weeks when it just is really real life. Busy, all over the place. We'll get into my shenanigans, but how have you been? You didn't even check in with mommy this week.
I know. It was a busy week. My mom came into town, which was amazing. And
to help you decorate fall harvest, or what was going on?
Yeah, I just haven't seen her since the wedding.
It's been that long?
Yeah. So it was just really nice to have her home. Mm-hmm. And Todd finished his project. You remember I was talking about that with all of you? He literally, we got home from the honeymoon and he just went to work and worked through nights. But the piece came out and I was so, so proud of him because it was so good, guys.
What was it about?
Yeah, it's complicated, okay? Because, I'm not a huge sports fan. I don't know my baseball stats and I just not that person. So what's so great about Todd's work is it appeals to someone like me who, not being an avid sports fan, you know, I love watching what he does. So he did this 1-hour doc for Fox Sports 1, and it's been out for a little bit. I think it's been like, I don't know what it was. I told you about it, but it was like 2 weeks ago. I'll send you the link.
Well, I just know when we were in Florida, Todd Kapp was still up working on this thing while we were waking up to do hair and makeup.
Right. I mean, he was so in this, but it turned out so good. And it's such a unique take on it because it's not just a 1-hour doc. It's the Pine Tar incident. I don't know if you know about this. It was a
while
ago. George, I love how Johnny's just, he knows his stuff. But anyway,
well, I'm an avid watcher of SportsCenter, so I know things.
But he did this fake behind the scenes. Stay with me. It was a fake behind the scenes making of documentary of a fake movie called Tar Wars. Okay,
this
so that's complicated.
To me, I'll tell you this: it's complicated in the way that it's like when you look in a mirror that's inside a mirror inside a mirror inside a mirror.
Exactly.
So lay it all out for me.
So what they did was they made you think that there was this movie being made called Tar Wars about George Brett. So they make you think that that's what it is. So it's almost like you're seeing trailers for the movie and you're seeing these like little bits and pieces that would actually look like, you know, this movie's coming out. They do really fun stuff where they're being like, they went to like Extra and ET and they're getting interviewed for this movie, but these are all fake actors and there is no movie. And they're doing like a behind the scenes, like look at the making of this doc. So it's really complicated, but you know what it's like? It's like when you watch Peter Pan live, right? They had, you know, when they did that on TV?
Nope.
You don't. Yeah, they do these like live events every once in a while, like the networks.
Oh, like when we had the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
The Wiz.
But a lot of times you'll see, like I saw this one for Peter Pan, which was the making of that. So you'll see like the director talking to you about, you know, what they're about to do or like the idea of it. So it was sort of like that. It was kind of like a peek behind the scenes of this fake movie being made. So it's complicated, but it was like visually really cool to watch, and he did such a good job, and I think there's an Emmy for it. You know, I'm just saying. Anyways,
well,
obviously
Kapp wins Emmys for everything. Like Todd Kapp can walk down to the end of the driveway, grab the paper, and he gets an Emmy for it.
Well, so I mean, Todd think Kapp's about it though. Good. I mean, especially in sports TV, I feel like there's a lot of straightforward, you know, pieces and
yeah, there's
and
very little nuance and artistry
yeah,
to it.
Like, nobody probably like could stay with me on explaining it, but that's the point. Like then you're watching it and you're watching something that's not, you know, been run dry and you've seen it a million times. But anyways, no. I'm proud of him and it's nice
Yay,
to have
Kapp.
Him back in the world. So
where he can sit down and have a family meal. He's not thinking about pitch tar. What is it? Tar pitch?
Pine tar.
Pine tar.
And it
where
was
he's not thinking
Wars.
About pine tar. Star Wars.
Star. No, Tar Wars.
Tar Wars.
Get it? Pine tar?
I'm here, pine tar.
Anyways, he's been off that project. He's like starting to work on something else, but we're back to seeing him. And my mom,
I'm sure Debbie's
town.
Pleased.
Debbie is so happy. It's been interesting. Speaking of Debbie, he sleeps in our bed, as you know, and Todd's a tall human. So Dublin doesn't go to his side of the bed because there's no room. But because there's some room, you know, at the end of my feet, Debbie lays there. And
in Munchkin Land.
I don't know if you watch any of my Insta stories, which are, you know, just primarily Dublin.
You're kidding. That's the only way mommy has to check in on you sometimes.
Yes.
Don't call mommy. Just do an Insta story. Oh, you're drinking again? Oh, the dog? Fine.
Great.
Yeah.
But he lays out. This dog is huge. He'll go from one end of the bed to the other, and his legs are all over, and he's tossing, and he's turning. He's like the most annoying sleeper. And you know my neck issues. Well, he lays on my legs, and I must not like it. So I like toss and turn constantly, and like I woke up a couple days ago with a solid toss that just, I heard my neck go. Dublin, it's over. So we put his big bed outside the door and closed the door. And it's,
how could you?
I know. I don't know how, other than the pain in my neck is reminding me that I have to do it. And Todd is like, well, we don't need you. I'm like, yeah, because he's not laying on your legs. So he's outside the door, and like every once in a while you'll just hear like the scratch on the door and the
poor Debbie.
Yeah, like he doesn't know what's happened. His life has changed. And
well, that's so mean.
It is.
It's almost abusive.
But I hope that like he'll start to sleep in that bed, and then we can put the bed back in the room, and he will stay there instead of going up on the actual bed.
Well, think about when Ava comes along and she turns 3 and has a nightmare, wants to sleep with mommy and daddy, and then you'll have Debbie as well.
And Debbie, all of the things in the bed.
I talk about Ava, guys, as though she's a real person. Tara is not pregnant, and she doesn't even know if it's a girl. But
Johnny named my first child.
Yeah, so Ava is Tara's first child. And at this point, I don't even care if it's a boy. His name's still going to be Ava, just because I've committed to it. I had some baby drama. We'll get back to Pat's visit. But okay, so guys, this sounds horrible, and I was assured by several people that this is real life and this sort of thing happens, but not to me. I consider myself above the fray when it comes to this situation. So somewhere on a walk recently, Tioma, my Japanese chin, he got fleas, and it's really embarrassing to talk about, but I feel like when you have embarrassing moments, it's best to talk them out. And also, it helps me to be one with our listeners, because apparently fleas happen to everybody. Never happened to me before. I keep a very clean household. My dog, essentially, you could eat Thanksgiving dinner off of him, because he is that clean and that well-mannered, and he's just an awesome little guy. Little did I know, like, he'd been... I was in New York last week, which we'll get to, but I was in New York and I came home and he had this sort of dirty feel to his chest. And his chest, he's kingly, so his chest is very important. It's very broad. And he's just, you know, he sits with his little bow legs and judges the world. And his chest was dirty. And I was like, huh, that's weird. So I got a paper towel and I cleaned him up because I knew he had a grooming session over the weekend. So I was like, okay, I'll get in there, get the dirt, and we'll do full bath on the weekend. So I take him up to the groomer. And Auntie Lori, she's groomed him since he was a puppy. And she was like, Johnny, I said, what? Is he not? I think he lost weight, Lori. He has fleas. And you can imagine how OCD and clean I am. The panic that ran through me. My blood turned to fireballs. I was calling doctors. I turned into you, essentially. I said, how could this happen to me? This is my baby. How can this be? So she got everything out of there. She got this sort of dirt that fleas leave behind off him, and he's fine. And he's now flea-proof because I Windexed the hell out of him. I cleaned the whole house in case it had gotten anywhere. My parents' dogs, they got a full cleaning. All the medicine, we spread soap flakes everywhere, full Lysol. It was like I was bombing. I did a full-on, you know, fighter pilot moment where I just bombed, clean bombed everything in our lives. because this was so, like, it's been a week anyway where real life family stuff has sort of stepped in, and it's been a hard week. And then the puppy with fleas is completely unacceptable, full
Can't
panic
have
mode.
That.
But luckily, he's okay right now. It's not, you know, as horrible as making your dog who's so used to sleeping in your bed sleep somewhere else now. You may as well just put him in a crate. but still,
it's
horrifying.
This is the meanest thing I've ever done to Dublin.
Yeah. So, guys, don't judge me for my kid having fleas. He didn't mean it. It definitely came from somewhere out in the walk. Because, honey, finally, it is cold.
Is it? Is it cold on the east? It is
chilly.
Hot.
I did full hat and scarf today.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's that time of year. I'm
so
really
excited.
So
do I need a coat next weekend?
You're going to need a little jacket, I think.
Wow.
It's chilly. Now
it's literally 100 degrees here. It hasn't been hotter ever.
I mean, you're fine with that little your little leather
my little leather coat, yeah.
Your PR guy.
Yeah.
Your PR coat. So that one's going to be good.
Okay.
But
I forgot to tell you, we went house shopping.
We'll get to it. Tell me about Pat's visit first.
Okay. So mom came in. She only came in for a few days, but it was nice. I mean, she's been in South Carolina full time, and Kiowa is amazing. Like, I could live there months and months out of the year, but, you know, you have to have a break and get out because it's, you know, it's kind of like secluded and there's not much on the island and whatever. So she came out here and she was just so excited to be like out and about, and she's like, oh. You know, like a Starbucks.
There's people.
You know, like what? so, anyways, it was really good. We went to a movie.
What'd you see?
We saw. Oh, it was so good. The Florida
movie.
Project.
The Florida Project.
It was. Have you seen any of the trailer? You have to see it. All.
No,
everyone
doesn't see anything.
Listening.
I'm just excited for Bad Moms 2.
It was
at the beginning
so
of November.
Good. Bad Moms 2.
Well, that's all. That was literally Bad Moms made my year. It's my hangover movie when I just lay there and laugh and get crusty. And Bad Moms 2 is coming out. My father and I actually have bonded over Bad Moms, so I'm going to take him to go see it. Anyway, you saw the Florida Project.
So I loved it. It was it's really cool. It's like this movie that's set outside of Disney World, which is like, you know, it's so cool that it's set outside of Disney World because this little girl's life and her mom's life is anything but Disney-esque. And it's just following this one kid primarily, but there's two other kids. And the little girl actress is literally amazing. Like, she should win an Oscar. Like, I'm just saying, like, she should win an Oscar. She was so good. She must be only like 5 years old. And just like her entire performance was insane. And it's just like a hard look at the way that a single mom and her daughter live and need to get rent and sort of how this little girl grows up. And it's sad and hopeful and all
real.
Of those emotions wrapped up into one. But it was a really, really good movie. So anyway, we saw that. We just like went to dinners and it was just nice to have her in town since we haven't like we caught up on the wedding and the honeymoon and just I haven't seen her, you know, since. So it's been nice.
Right. Right. And then did she go on the house hunt with you at all?
No, she left. And then this weekend we went on the house hunt. And like the thing is if we have any listeners from Los Angeles, you know, there is going to be a divided group of people that when you say the Valley, they go, oh, God. Like, no.
Yeah. Outside looking in, the Valley's not that bad. And my management, they are in Sherman Oaks. And I have to go there a lot. A lot of the studios are there. I think it just gets a bad rap because a lot of the, you know, actors who are also singers, dancers, and waiters all at the same time just waiting for their big break, I think a lot of them end up living in the Valley.
Right.
And I think maybe that's why.
I mean, you get a lot
more
for your money in the Valley. And some people love the Valley. Like, it's just a totally different vibe, a little bit more laid back. And it's, you know, it's just not Los Angeles. I mean, Los Angeles is also, like, sort of split up, too. You have, like, the West Side. And then you have, like, when you go across, you go east across the 405, Beverly Hills, West Hollywood. Like, that's a whole different thing than the West Side. Like, people living in Santa Monica, Brentwood, Venice. Like, it's Manhattan Beach. It's, like, a definite like beachier laid back vibe, and I'm a definite West Side person, and I have always said I would never go to the ballet. I'm just like, that is just not me. I didn't even like, I unless there's a meeting in the ballet, I never go to the ballet. So I was like looking, we're looking for houses this past couple months in the same area we're in Brentwood in Santa Monica. And there's some nice ones, but there's nothing that like blew me away. And then I just like, Todd and I were looking on Zillow and realtor.com and just like kind of like seeing what was out there. And we realized that like you can get so much more for your money in the valley. And I've just been putting it off. And then I finally was like, Todd, we should just go see. And we went. And like, it's the valley. But it's like now I'm kind of pro valley, Johnny. Now I'm kind of like, I can do this. Like, it's really yeah. only, you know, 18 minutes on the freeway. And it's not that bad. It's like, we still don't know what we're going to do. We're looking at some homes in Santa Monica today. But you can get a crazy home for the amount of money you'd spend in Santa Monica. You know what I mean? Like, in right. comparison. It's just...
You get the full movie theater, pool, tennis court, basketball court.
I mean,
court.
Just everything. Just a back, like, a big backyard and, like, all the bells and whistles. And it's just... It's different. So yeah. we're sort of in a little bit of a pickle because I still am hoping somehow that's just going to magically happen in Brentwood. But I have been assured that can't happen and that a home that I want, like... the one in the valley just won't happen on the
yeah,
west side.
Something I never understood about L.A. was how down on the valley people can be. Yet there was a huge migration years ago, and I think it was because of the Kardashians, but so many people and influential and well-known people and wealthy people were moving to Calabasas, which is like an hour to get to L.A. So if you work in L.A., it's real hard to get to and fro. And I suppose if you're a Kardashian, then you just keep a house also in Beverly Hills or whatever. But, you know, the Calabasas thing really threw me when the valley is sort of right there. It's just over the hill and you can be from Beverly Hills into the valley to Sherman Oaks in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Doing that horrible, windy road situation.
Well, and just imagine that if you go west, like Sherman Oaks is like where I know Lena lives and like you go a lot. So... But if you go the other way, you know, towards Santa Monica, there's Encino, which is super – it's literally – you don't even have to get on the freeway. You can stay on Sepulveda and get there to some areas.
That's a very L.A. – Sepulveda.
Right.
Have you ever seen that SNL skit?
A lot of L.A. listeners. I know, with all the highways.
Yeah. Well, Tara and I, we have a lot of – hello, Los Angeles. Tara and I have – we have Instagram insights on our – Instagram accounts because we have the blue check mark that we're verified and so you know it's us. So we compared and we have a huge chunk of people from LA. So I'm sure they all get it. But yeah. There is a very distinct, there's an SNL skit about how people in LA talk and it's usually around traffic. And you take Sepulveda to Pico and then Pico to Olympic and then you have to, you know, just you have to make that U-turn there on blah, blah, blah. And it's just North Cannon, but, you know, it's just funny to me. But yeah, I can sit on realtor.com or Zillow uh-huh. for hours because I'm, you know, I've been house hunting or whatever for a couple of years now. And I do like the idea of being in Pennsylvania horse country. It's not close to anything or convenient in any way. But I really just like the privacy and being far away. But at the same time, my sort of I'm single and I don't know when, you know, when or if I'm going to have somebody in my life. But something that, you know, over the last four I keep saying, you know, sorry. But over the last 4 years, my family and I have gotten much closer. When I was sort of secluded up in Jersey, I didn't see enough of them, and we weren't as close, certainly, as we are now. So I would like, because it's still possible in Pennsylvania, to buy an estate, for lack of a better word, just a huge territory of land, and build a home for me and them on the same property. Of course, far enough away so it's not weird, like I live with my parents, but it's really hard to find all of this, they call it Chateau Country, sort of through the area I'm looking, because it's all the DuPonts that live there and the family of Andrew Wyeth, the artist. And it's a very ritzy sort of country to be in. Mm-hmm. But to find a place where you're allowed to build two structures that you live in and there are ways around it that if you say, I'll never rent this one out or sell it to another person, it's just for my family or just a guest house or whatever. There's all this stuff. But finding that perfect piece of land is really hard because there are specifications. My parents are both 60, and I don't want them to have to worry about mortgages and stuff like that any longer than they need to. I want them to have an enjoyable sort of retirement. So I'm trying really hard and working really hard to make enough money and save enough money to do that. But it's just really hard. My dad said, oh, I want to be a pure Viking. And, you know, when I die, I want to be laid out on a raft with twigs and you shoot a bow and arrow and light me on fire. You know, we're doing the full Viking thing because that's who we are. Yeah. Like it's gotten to those sorts of conversations lately. And I'm trying desperately to find something with water and it has to be beautiful with mature trees. And I'm just super picky about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, like, especially for me, who's not the best decision maker. I procrastinate over everything. And, like, picking a place you're going to live in for years and years of your life is a huge decision.
Yeah.
And it gives me a ton of anxiety.
I like the idea of one and done. Everyone keeps saying, oh, it's your first property that you've actually bought and owned. It's your first blah, blah, blah. Do it this way. I'm not interested in how other people do anything. I know exactly what I want, and it's going to be perfect because I'm going to be there until I die. And it'll pass down through my family, whatever. Right. But I want this to be my house.
Yeah.
So it has to be perfect. Oh, just buy a simple ranch or fix it up the way you like it because you're going to sell it in 5 years. I certainly am not selling anything in 5 years.
Right.
It's going to be my house. But guys, with all of this said with the real estate, we actually, for our fan call for next week's episode, we want to hear your story about any housing drama that you may have faced, whether you bought a home, decided to renovate it, and there was a family of possums that lived in the attic that you had to exterminate, whether you were building a house and it got really far too expensive and then they couldn't get the, you know, the
some
tile
dramatic,
in that you wanted.
Funny,
just dramatic
funny story.
And we do read all of these. So again, I wanted to tell you guys not to send your privates and don't send anything crass. We just are strictly interested in your housing drama story, your house hunt, so to speak.
Yeah,
but that's our fan call.
We actually got so many good travel stories, Johnny. I know you read them too, but I texted you yesterday. I'm like, there's so many good ones. Like, I'm upset. Like, I can't just pick one.
Yeah, and we like it when you guys are competitive and we have that situation. It's better to have too many than too few.
It was
so
good, though. I'm excited.
Even
when
if you
are
have
we
a bad
talking
story,
to our fan call? Should we do that now?
No, we're going to do it after a short break.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, send us your housing drama, house hunt, crazy stories at taraandjohnnyfancall@gmail.com. That's taraandjohnnyfancall@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Next Sunday at 12:30 Eastern, an NFL on NBC doubleheader. First, two high-powered teams collide when Jeff Hostetler and the Raiders face Blake Pickens and the Bengals. Then, a black and blue battle in the Windy City. The Bears host the Pittsburgh Steelers or regional action.
The NFL on NBC, made in America, played in America.
And we're back, Jay, and it's time for fan call.
Yeah, we're calling Corinne.
This is Corinne.
Hi, it's Tara
and
Johnny.
Hi, Corinne, it's Tara and Johnny.
Oh my gosh, hi guys.
Hi.
Where are you at?
Oh, my God. I literally, you're going to laugh at me, but I had a baby 6 months ago, and I just walked out of her doctor's appointment.
Oh, oh no.
Is she in
Do
there?
Do you need to go back in?
Mom of the year.
Mommy loves
Mommy
it.
Mommy of the year.
Mommy has priorities.
Wait, are you sure this is okay? Do you have, like, is somebody there to help you? Is she just kind of laying out on the table, the baby?
Nope. She's all good. She's with Dad. Dad can figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay, Daddy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Corinne, we're super excited to talk to you. Thank you for writing in to Tara and Johnny fan call.
Well, thank you for reading my extensive novel. I felt kind of bad because it was like midnight and I was like, I'll just get it all out.
It was funny.
Were you on Ambien or were you drunk when you wrote it?
I was on Momness, where it was like, I have no child that needs my care right now. I can have my time to just write and go with it.
It was awesome. Nice. Where do you live? Are you in...
Yeah, give us your spiel. Where
I'm
are you
Orange
from?
County.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Oh, California. Yeah. We were just talking about that. How many? Yeah. We wonder how many like Californians listen to us.
Well, if it's any of my former skating friends, all of us. So
you are a former skater. Johnny and I just, yeah. We are so connected that we just ask the same questions at the same time. Just
I know.
So you know.
I listen to the podcast yeah. And I hear you guys and I'm like, oh gosh, that's when you know you're like BFF when you say the exact same sentence.
I know. Yep. So you are a former skater then? Competitive?
Yes. I skated for the Orange County Figure Skating Club.
Ooh.
Hooray.
Yay. Yeah.
Okay.
But now I'm old and retired and my bones ache. So.
So do ours.
Welcome
yeah, to
you're
the
telling
club.
Us.
We want to get right into the story because we love this story.
Just too good.
And I was saying to Johnny that there were a lot of good travel stories, but this one just had that something extra. So why don't you take us through it and give it to us?
I'd like to say, first of all, though, there are lots of, you usually look for a story with lots of highs and lows and bends, but there were just a lot of lows in yours. You overslept a lot.
But, you know, the silver lining is that I lived and I survived and I'm here today to talk about it.
Exactly. All right, go for it.
Okay. So, as I explained in my email, it was, you know, I want to say it was definitely 2010. And I had just been ending of a relationship and I had literally just finished reading Eat, Pray, Love, and I was so into it. And I was like, I am this character. I am this woman. I need recovery. Like, this is, you know, I'm just going through all of this right now, all the emotions. And so my roommate at the time, she was like, Ryan, come with us to Costa Rica. And I'm thinking, this is perfect because I need to not go with somebody. I need to not, like, have a boyfriend to, like, you know, lean on or, like, that whole thing. I just need to, like, go and do this.
Just need to eat, pray,
and
love it.
Let's preface this with, I barely knew this girl. So, like, yes, we were roommates, but we weren't super close. It was very just roommate situation. And so my parents are like, okay, yeah, like, whatever you decide to do, like, we'll support your Costa Rican adventure. So anyway, so they dropped me off at LAX, and they're like, bye, have a great time. Please email us when you can. Let us know how it goes, blah, blah, blah. Great, awesome. I go to the ticket counter on an airline I won't mention, but I'll never fly again because A, it was the worst airline ever, and B, they were just so rude to me and I felt so stupid. Never want to show my face there again. So I go up to the counter and they're like, I'm sorry, but your flight was 24 hours ago. Like, even though the date said date, I was thinking that it was that night, whatever. So I completely missed my flight.
We've all been there with red
and
eyes.
And I felt so dumb. I felt like such an idiot. I'm like, you are retarded. So I do what every person would think to do and go on your phone and find the next flight. Like, go through any said cheap company just to get a flight to Costa Rica because I have this whole trip plan. I've got excursions. I've got, like, all this stuff. So I find this cheap flight, but it's not until the morning. And I'm at LAX. And at this point, I'm like, I'm not calling my parents to be like, hey, come back and get me. Drive me back to Orange County so I can sleep for 4 hours and come right back. And then I also, and this is before Uber. So I'm like, I'm not going to take some shady cab ride to some hotel around LAX. It was just stupid. So I was like, I'm going to rough it at LAX. So I go to, like, the international area, the little food court, and I park my stuff. I have a ton of luggage with me because I overpacked as usual and I have all my stuff and I'm like, okay, I can't get robbed in these next 4 hours. So I have to, like, post up in a booth and hold all my stuff and just pray that nobody, you know, kills me. So I park up in a booth and I'm laying there and I don't sleep. Obviously I take a selfie, which I think I sent to you guys.
Yeah. We got some pictures along with the story, which were great.
Yeah. Right. So you know, just hang out, basically. I don't sleep. Hang out there for my next flight. Get on the flight. I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be great. I email my roommate letting her know on VIA Facebook that I'm going to be coming at this set in time and blah, blah, blah. They let me know. They are actually stuck in Mexico City on a layover because the weather is disastrous and they have no ETA on their next flight out to Costa Rica, means I am showing up in Costa Rica by myself with no transportation from said airport to our beautiful hotel, like, you're just showing up. Okay, so then I get on my flight. I'm like, whatever, I'll just hang out at the airport. Not a big deal. And I get to the airport in San Jose, and I get another message saying, there's no ETA for us again. We think it's going to be, like, a day or two. So I'm now in San Jose in Costa Rica. I have no transportation. I have no hotel to stay at. It's dead time at night. And so I'm like, oh my God, I just, again, have to find some hotel to stay at and pray that they get in the next day. So I find some literally like brothel kind of type-ish hotel that's like, okay, maybe I won't get murdered. And I think I mentioned I didn't want to be kidnapped by a la certain person that I'm not going to mention. And so I'm like, whatever, it'll be fine. They have a shuttle from the airport to the hotel, so I'll take that. So I walk outside, and I've got, let you mind, I didn't write it in the email, but I'll say it now. I have a hot pink bag, like rolly bag, ridiculous. Oh, and I'm holding my MacBook Pro thinking like, they have to kidnap me if they want to take my computer.
So solid, just American tourist look.
Yes, like literally hair is still curled because clearly I had to do a blow dry and a blowout before I went to LAX. So like curled, big blonde hair, like I am literally a standing target. So I go out the front doors, and there are hordes of men hollering at me, trying to get me in their cars, which none of them look like taxi cabs, not like your Americanized yellow whatever town car, none of that. So I'm like, okay, I'm like looking for the shuttle, because like after I made the reservation, they're like, the shuttle's going to be there in 15 minutes. Okay, great. Run outside. I am like evading these men grabbing at me. I get inside the shuttle. I'm like, I've got to take a picture of this as we're driving out of there. I get to the hotel, I check into my room, and they're like, oh, I'm at this point, I'm like, oh my God, there's like lights on, there's like a restroom here, like, can I buy a bottle of water? Like, I'm just so appreciative. I don't even care at this point that it probably is going to end up with bed bugs and something horrific. And at this point, I'm like, I'm just alive. Like, I'm okay. I'll be okay. So they even let me know that there is a continental breakfast in the morning. And I'm like, beautiful, awesome, fabulous, great.
Now, do you speak Spanish?
I'm sorry?
Now, you're completely without Spanish. You don't speak Spanish.
I think I wrote in my email, I did 2 years in high school just to get into college. So my Spanish is that of crap. Like, I could do nothing in Spanish that would be of helpfulness to me at this point.
Right.
I might be able to say, like hello, or my name is.
So a bit like, limited.
Yeah, it's embarrassing and would probably even make me more of a target because they'd be like, oh, she really doesn't understand the language here. So I was like, don't even try. So I get to the hotel, I sleep, whatever. I wake up in the morning. I'm not dead. Everything's good. I sent my parents an email like, I'm here. It's fine. Like, everything's going to be fine. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm letting my parents know because I don't want my mom being a skating mom. Bless her heart. She, you know, I don't want her to worry and I don't want my dad to worry. So I'm like letting them know, like, I'm totally fine. It's going to be great. So then I go eat my continental breakfast. I'm sipping my coffee, and I'm like, I'm a badass. Look at me. I survived. I'm here. This is going to be great. So I run to the counter, and I'm like, hey, I'm getting on that shuttle, you know, to, like, go to that town with the resort. And he's like, oh, it's gone. It left. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, when's the next one? And he kind of looks at me like, you're an idiot. Like, I gave you an opportunity, and you did not pay attention accordingly. And he goes, 2 days. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so what's plan B? Like, help a sister out. Like, what? Like, how do I get to this resort area? And he's like, well, you could, I don't know if I mentioned this, but you could take a cab, which will be, you know, I don't know, lots of money.
Or 3,000 American
take the public
dollars.
Bus. And I was like, I'm not spending X amount of dollars. I'll just take the public bus. How bad can it be? Because I'm brave and I'm independent and I can do this. Cultural experience. And he's like, oh,
this sounds horrible.
Is it safe? And he goes, yeah, like that to me. And I'm like, good enough. Let's do this. Take all my crazy belongings, my overpacking, and I head to the, he lets me know, like, hey, walk down the street, make a left, go right, you'll see the bus stop. Okay, so I'm rolling down the street, I get to the bus stop. There's no signs of where to go, there's no, like, resort town, get on this bus, there's nothing, there's not a map, there's, and let you mind, I'm
so
like,
you just
I'm not
gamble.
Cheating on myself,
you're,
because
you're
I don't
like,
want to do, like, the roaming
one.
Thing, I'm trying to be considerate, there's no Wi-Fi, there's nothing. There's this 19-year-old kid who comes up to me, Costa Rican guy, and he's like, I'm like trying to like, I literally do the shape of volcano with my hands, and I'm like, volcano town, like resort. And he's like laughing at me, and he's like, Facebook friends? And I'm like, no, I don't have time to be your buddy on social media right now. Like, this is not the time. This is a crisis. And he's laughing at me, and then all of a sudden, he proposes. He gets down on one knee, and he's like, marry me, American girl. And I'm like, nope, nope. Thank you. You're
not
cute.
Not today.
I know nothing about you, sir. So just step off. Like,
no. Mommy wouldn't be okay with this. Let's stop this. Get me on the correct bus, please. So finally, he points to a certain bus and he's like, get on that one. He's like, definitely like freaking out for me to get on this particular bus. And I'm like, okay, what have I got to lose at this point? So I get on said bus with all of my crap and I'm sitting there and there's probably, like I mentioned, 200 Costa Rican people on this bus. I'm like, this is fine. I can do this. I can rally. So we're scooting along. Then we make another stop and another 50 or so people get on this bus.
So it's grand.
Oh my God. It is crazy. Like, it is would not pass health code violations, travel transportation, rules, laws, whatever. This is not a safe situation. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to rally. Then the chickens come on. Guys, I'm not kidding. Cages of chickens, and they are put in the back of the bus, and there are feathers flying out of this bus. And I'm sitting in a two-person seat with four people in the row. Like, that's how crunched in we are. And I've got my MacBook Pro on my lap, and I've got my rolly bag, like, shoved under my feet. And I have a child, a baby, a toddler, with hot Cheeto fingers pulling on my now disgusting blowout from two days prior. And, like, yeah. And I turn around. And, like, here in America, if you turn around and give a dirty look, sometimes that stops it. And it didn't. It just kept going. And I was like, this child is a heathen. And at this point in my life, I'm not a super kid person. So I'm like, get your janky baby off me. But I'm like, I just have to rally. I'm on this bus. I kid you not, guys, for 4 hours I'm on this bus. I don't have like a bottle of water, a clean restroom, nothing. We finally make a stop at this bus stop. And I think I sent a picture to you guys. And it is, there's no resort town. There's no anyone greeting me with a cocktail. There's no nothing. It's like a bus stop in Costa Rica in some very, very interesting town.
Yeah. Far-flung hamlet.
Yeah. So I get off the bus and I see a woman with her kids and she's smiling at me and she's being kind. I mean, let me backtrack 1 second. The bus driver is like, girl, get off the bus. Everybody has exited. And I'm still sitting there. I look like Forrest Gump because I'm like, I'm not getting off the bus. I'm just going to sit here. You know, I am not moving. This is, you know, I don't know where to go. And he's like, get off the bus, please exit. And so I get off the bus and I see the woman, like I mentioned, she's smiling at me and I go, I'm looking and I have my piece of paper because apparently, I don't know why, maybe OCD-ness of me, I had printed out like a piece of paper of the resort that we were at. That we were supposed to be staying at. And so I go, I'm like pointing at it on the piece of paper. And she smiles, doesn't say anything, smiles. And she points like literally up the road. She's like, that way, like go that way. And I'm thinking, sure, awesome. Maybe I just have to walk through this shady area of town and around the corner will be tropical paradise. So I take all my stuff and I'm walking down the street for, it had to have been like 5 miles. I'm on this road walking with all my shit for like an hour. It is terrible. I'm sweating. The humidity's 135%. It is.
Yeah, try and describe your scent at this point for me. Is it one to ten? 1 to 10, like 10 being, you know, decomposing whale on a beach, and 1 being, you know, the cosmetics counter at Barney's.
Johnny, I'm
where
an 11.
Were you?
I might as well just lay down. I'm a carcass of a human at this point.
Nasty.
Like, yeah,
I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be there scent-wise with you. Anyway, hot and bothered, trekking up a hill, 5 miles,
yes.
And what?
Yes. So I trek up the hill, and at this point, I almost just chuck the MacBook Pro and think, like, I'll just buy a new computer because I don't want to carry this anymore. My biceps hurt. My quads hurt. Even though I'm a skater, I can't do this life anymore. Like, I'm done. And finally, I get up the hill, and I can start seeing, like, beautiful landscaping, and it's starting to change. And all of a sudden, I see the name of said resort, and I'm like, oh,
you
my God, there is a God. Like, there is a God. So I walk the long road up to the resort, and the workers that are like greet you at the front where all the town cars are coming in and patrons are getting off the out of their vehicles, he looks at me and he's like, no, he's shooing me away because he thinks I'm a homeless person, I think. Yeah,
you're like, no, I am walking in here and getting to my room. and where's my cocktail?
And I'm like, no, I'm legit. I swear. I have dinero for you. I'm good. Here's my name. I have a reservation. And so finally, like, he finds my name on the reservation list, and he's like, looks at me, and you could tell. I mean, I don't know if it was pity, sorrow. It's like, oh my God, this poor girl, like, what happened to her? Is she a trafficking victim? What is going on? This is terrible. I mean, because I'm dirty at this point. I'm very, very dirty, swelly. Like, I think I start to cry at one point because I don't know what else to do. And I'm so
grateful. It was just relief.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
how fast did they shoo
vacation?
You through the lobby?
Yeah. They hand me a cocktail. They take me to my room, and it is gorgeous. Overlooks the volcano. There's like little treats in my room. My friends are nowhere. Don't even care at this point if they ever show up. And I lay down on the bed, and I'm like, oh my God, this happened, and I'm here, and I'm okay. So
your travel story from hell was worth it then?
It was 100% worth it. And I will say this, like, you know, when you're like going through something, you're like, this has got to mean something. It meant that I could do it. I could do life. I could do me, and I would be okay. And even if life throws you all these crazy curveballs, like, you can figure it out. You'll be fine. And so it was good. It was actually a test of a little bit of my little independence and my strength and like who I was as a person. And it was great. And my friends ended up showing up 2 days later, and we had the best time zip lining and, you know, spa services, and just like such an amazing trip that I got home. And I then told my parents and my mom about, you know, the situation. But it was an incredible trip. But when you guys had said, hey, it's been your best travel story, and I was like, oh, they've got to hear this. They've got to hear this.
Well, that is a doozy.
It really was. I mean, Johnny, I just like to see us on that journey together.
Oh, I just would have sat down somewhere and cried. I would have submitted myself to being some sort of
I wanted to lay in fetal position, but what are you going to do in fetal position?
Nothing, but that's kind of RMO. Like, I just, I just would have sat down and been finished. Nope, I'll just wait until someone comes to find me.
Come get me.
But Corinne, yeah. We're so thankful for you listening to the podcast and for calling in and telling us this crazy story. Also, rating your scent in front of the trillions that listen to our program.
I hope nobody judges me. I'm very clean now. I'm very put together. I am not that person.
Now, I feel like we've wasted enough of your time while your child is in a doctor's appointment. So head back on in there. And
I will.
We hope you keep listening. And thank you again so much for calling in.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful. I know myself and friends that listen laugh our butts off in the car. So keep
good.
It up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Corinne. Okay.
Bye.
Johnny, could you imagine? Like, I just see us sitting in the small crammed bus with our 90 pieces of luggage.
And chickens. Hashtag and chickens. This actually gets me somewhere, honey, this travel nonsense, because last week I had to go to New York and I was filming a pilot episode for a program. And the filming went great, blah, blah, blah. Obviously can't talk about it because it's just a pilot and nobody has bought it yet. But so, guys, that's how it works for any show. You film a pilot and you shop it around and see who wants it. Anyway, filmed that. But on the way up, I was dealing with this company who I guess didn't work with talent that much, or, you know, budgets and all that, whatever. So they had booked me into a hotel that I'd never really stayed in. And I looked it up on TripAdvisor, and there were actual pictures of bed bugs and cockroaches. So kind of the nth hour, I was calling everyone. I was calling California to get Jonathan Taub to call and fix it. I was on the line with the production because I hate the idea that I could possibly be seen as a diva in any way. So I screen capped picture of bed bug, because I have a really good relationship with Sofitel. And I usually stay there, and I've never had any problem. But in big cities, you never know if, like, a bed bug's going to pop out. Anyway, I'm dealing with this. And in the meantime, they had gotten a car service for me, which was very nice. They didn't make me get on a train or anything to New York. But they got this car service, and it was one I'd never heard of. And usually the bigger companies you've heard of, because in general they have to leave New York, come get me, and then go all the way back to New York. But they got this one that I'd never heard of. So I'm in the car. It's late at night. The New Jersey Turnpike, I'm sure you've been on it, is pretty free and clear at night during the week, and there isn't a lot of traffic, and it's pretty much a straight road up the East Coast. And this guy had to be, you know, mid to late 70s. His eyesight wasn't that good. His car was one of those cars that kind of, it'll blink on this little display and it'll start beeping at you when you're swerving. So the guy was swerving so bad, his car started beeping at him and it wouldn't stop. I'm in the back just trying to listen to last week's podcast so that I could edit if anything needed editing. And this guy, he would go to 80 and then drop back to 50.
Oh,
the
gosh.
Car was pleading for him to stop. You would have stopped and gotten out and gotten an Uber. but I was like, I am halfway up the Jersey Turnpike. If this old man falls asleep at the wheel, it's God's will. Like, I just have to get there. I have to get to bed. I'm filming a pilot tomorrow. I've got to be gorgeous. So I stuck it out. But just really, really, I then had to call the company and be like, if that guy ever shows up to pick me up again, I will not get in the car. It was blah, blah, blah. And I felt bad doing that because, you know, he didn't speak much English and he was old and whatever. But anyway, that was my travel drama. New York was fun. How long has it been since you've been to New York? It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit. We're going, yeah. Obviously, this week for our first Grand Prix event. And then Todd's coming because we're going to go to – he's going to take me to Brown. So we're going to go to Providence and we're going to see a school and have a little trip.
Are you going to see Shelley Kwan while you're up there?
Why? Oh, she lives in Rhode Island.
Yeah, she lives in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just threw that out there.
I mean, I can always reach out and see if she'll have us.
Yeah. Okay, so Providence. And we, you know, with all that said, oh, I gave a coat away. I want to get to that story real quick before we get into Skating Corner. So really funny to me anyway, because I was two glasses in. But I had a two-day shoot in New York, so I had an overnight and whatever. Went out with Jackie because I hadn't seen her. And now that you and I are starting the season, my weekends are kind of full with that. And during the week, I have things to do. I'm so busy.
So busy.
But we went to the Polo Bar. And if you haven't been, it is this ritzy, really hard to get into little Manhattan establishment. It's like on the same it's in the same building as the Polo store on Fifth Avenue. But if you imagine sort of the Polo lifestyle and pearls and cashmere twin sets and Ralph Lauren and, you know, that sort of person, that's not me and it's not Jackie. I always say it's a really waspy restaurant. And while that I don't think is an offensive term, I mean, it puts you right in perspective. You know exactly who I'm talking about. It's just white upper crust people that sit with their families. And a lot of the ladies' faces are pulled real tight and big hair. And just very conservative and waspy. You know, the kind that will have cocktail hour at their estate after they've played tennis all day. Those kind of people. So I am a kind of a tall order going there. So I had this pearl sweater on. And then, you know, the jacket, because I've worn it to broadcast. And it's just a really aggressive sort of pony hair, short sleeve, skirty, teal leopard jacket.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big fan, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But so I wore that to go there. And Jackie looked really chic. She was wearing her little Dior ribbon shoes and just an oversized denim. And everything was great. And then two glasses of Sancerre in, you know, we're holding court at the bar. We hadn't sat down yet for dinner. And this lady from it turns out to be Houston, walks by. And she says, and she was very fancy, like full pearls, big old ice skating rink on her finger. you know, she was real chic. And she is who I probably will be someday, but I'm just not quite there yet. I'm still too wild. But she says, oh, honey, when you walked in that coat, we were all just like, wow, that is somebody who really, really believes in himself. And, you know, of course, we all watch you and Tara, and we just love you. And your coat, where did you get that? Where can I get that coat? And I said, well, it's 3 years old. It's a sample that I stole off somebody. Not really, but it was free. It was a free coat, and I've had it for 3 years, and it's time to pass it on. So Drunk Johnny was like, here, madam, have my coat.
And you I was gave like, your coat away? When you're drunk, you give your, like, clothing and, like...
Oh, I will give anything away when,
shoes
I'm,
away.
When I'm drunk. And I wasn't even that drunk. It was literally, this
before
time for
dinner.
Real, two glasses in. Because I had to work the next day, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to really tie one on. It's not like Rio. I learned my lesson. Get vertigo if you drink too much at work. but I give her my coat, and she's like, oh, honey, you have made me so happy. Are you sure? And, like, her husband was with her, and he was all into it because, you know, this coat kind of...
She took it, too.
She did. And, I mean, it took some pushing.
I feel like it would be one of those things where I'd be like, oh, that's sweet, but thank you. No.
Yeah. I mean, she took it, and I smelled good, so I think that was part of it, too. And I didn't seem to have fleas or bed bugs. My poor dog. Anyway, got drunk, gave my thing away. So if you guys ever want to stalk me while I'm drinking somewhere, come on and do it, because most likely I'll give you something. Oh, do you like my sunglasses? Here, have them.
Have them. Take
you know,
it.
I can't say that I'm a generous man or a rich one, but when wine comes into play, I'll give you my watch. You can
want,
please have
my
fur
coat. You want
my handbag?
Coat. Let me just get a plastic baggie and dump my essentials into it. Take it.
Barkeep, do you have a Ziploc I might use? I'm giving my Birkin away. Yes, that's just the kind of guy I am. Guys, let's get into Skating Corner.
Skating Corner. Here we go. Oh, are you doing skating?
Yeah, that was
skating
my speed
skids?
Skating noise. Yeah, okay. So skating skates. So guys, this weekend on Sunday on NBC at noon Eastern, you can check your local listings. Sometimes they override us and put a football game or whatever during our broadcast, but you can just check your local thing.
Yeah,
it's in the newspaper.
You guys have to tune in. We need the audience that listens to this show to tune in.
Yeah.
Like,
you
it's
guys
a
may
demand.
Only like us
I know you like
no
the podcast,
yeah.
But it's sort of, it comes with the territory. If you listen to the podcast, you must watch skating on Sunday. We'll try to entertain you.
If you get real drunk on Saturday, just please remember that on Sunday you have to join us on NBC at noon to watch our coverage of the Rus Telecom Cup or the beginning of the Grand Prix, Cup of Russia as it used to be called. We'll be broadcasting the men and ladies for the most part, and possibly a dancer too. But, yeah, honey, what do we have to look forward to? In the men, there's Yuzuru Hanyu, who's the reigning Olympic champion, versus American medal hopeful for the men, Nathan Chen.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I mean, Nathan Chen is going to be a name that, for anyone who's listening that's not a skating fan, you will know this name. As the Olympics near, I think his name will be all over, and he's one of, he's right now one of the best in the U.S., and in contention for the podium for a possible Olympic medal.
I mean, he still has to qualify for the Olympics in January at the U.S. National Championships, but he's the reigning national champion. He
does,
completely obliterated the rest of the field
last
year.
He does crazy tricks, kids.
Yeah.
He does many quads.
Possibly six quads, which is unheard of, and nobody else can do that in his free program. But he'll be up against Yuzuru Hanyu, who's from Japan. He's reigning Olympic champion. He's a brilliant skater, just beautifully lyrical and elegant. And this will be the first Grand Prix of the season. So
and
it's
he
really
has
exciting
the experience,
there.
So it's quite the contrast. But it will be a good competition.
Yeah, and on the ladies' side, there's Yevgenia Medvedeva, the two-time and reigning world champion from Russia, who is really
the most likely woman at this point to win the Olympic medal in this coming Olympics. So
no, we can't jinx her.
No, but I mean, she is at this point. She's two-time, reigning world champion. Like she's it, Johnny.
She's
like the pressure is on her shoulders.
And she's just so amazing. I mean, she's worth a watch for sure. If you guys aren't skating fans and want to tune in, the skating fans that listen already know her name. But she's up against some strong competition from Yelena Radionova, also from Russia, American Olympic hopeful Mariya Nagasu, who's kind of on the comeback trail. And Tara and I are both watching her events that she's already competed in this season.
We're really excited for her.
She could upset the apple cart, which is one of Tara's favorite phrases.
Johnny didn't know what that meant the first time I said it. Anyway.
No idea.
So Mariya, though, has been around for quite a while, certainly has had her ups and downs, but she's coming to the table with this incredible element that she's added into her skating this year, and it's a triple axel, which is very rare among the ladies. And
only seven ladies have ever landed them in international competition.
Right,
before.
And I don't think anyone else right now, at least the ones that are really in contention, are even attempting a triple axel. So it's exciting, and if she hits it, she will definitely be much more in the conversation. And I think, you know, she's gutsy and smart, and Johnny and I are both excited to see her compete, and hopefully she can handle the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, she won her first senior national title way back in 2008, so she's been around a long time. She's definitely one of the veterans right up there with Ashley Wagner. But, you know, famously for the last Olympics, Mariah Nagasu was left off the U.S. Olympic team in favor of Ashley Wagner, who technically by placement didn't qualify, and they gave Mariah's spot to Ashley because of prior performance and international standing. So Mariah definitely has something to prove, and I think she's already on a great
Olympic
path.
Team. Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. So even if you're not a skating fan, you got to tune in. It's an Olympic year, you know.
They're
hopes
really
are high.
Be bringing it.
Stakes are high. There's a lot of good competition and good skating. So tune
so through
in.
Through the whole Grand Prix, which is essentially the next 6 weekends that we'll spend with you on television.
Yeah, so that's
on,
your
on
Sunday, guys.
Yeah,
we look forward
enjoy.
To that. Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to seeing Carson Wentz from the Philadelphia Eagles play, and the Eagles are doing really well. I don't know if they play Sunday or Saturday, but it's very exciting. But the skating, definitely tune in with us. It's on NBC at noon Eastern on Sunday. Check your local listings to be sure that we haven't been sort of passed
mistaken.
Over for a football game. Yeah, for something else. But, honey, I think we've exhausted our time.
We
for
really
this week's
have.
Podcast.
It's over. Guys,
yeah. I mean,
it's over.
We made it through. We made it through. Guys, we're super thankful to the trillions of you that listen. We couldn't do this without you. As always, you can interact with us and join us on our social media platforms at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. I'm just laying out the rules today.
Yeah.
I'm all business. Watch skating on Sunday and subscribe. Like, those
if
are
you guys
two
don't
things
do this, Tara won't
do.
Show up to our next recording. If our ratings aren't good enough for Sunday, we're not showing up to record a podcast. It's your own fault. But yeah, we're super thankful and we love you guys. And don't forget, next week's fan call question is, well, not, I suppose it's a proposition to tell us about your house drama, whether it was a renovation, a really long house hunt.
Funny story, and you email us at taraandjohnnyfancall@gmail.com, taraandjohnnyfancall@gmail.com.
Beautiful, talented, and she can spell, ladies and gentlemen. Good for you.
Thank you.
Oh, mommy raised a good one. But honey, I love you. Everyone out there, I love you. Tara loves you too. And until next time.
Bye.
Why is monster truck racing such a good time?
Because it's bad, honey.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.